Today we're continuing and concluding this short series that we're doing on the first 14 verses of the second letter of the Apostle Paul to his young friend Timothy. And we remember, as Paul writes these words, that it's near the end of his life, that Paul is in prison, in a dark hole, likely in Rome, where he soon will be executed for his faith in Christ. And we also remember that Timothy, who has traveled with Paul, Paul was just his father in the faith, that Timothy is now serving as pastor of a church in Ephesus, and he's facing many difficulties, many challenges from within church and challenges from outside of the church. And Paul is writing these words, these precious words, to encourage him to flame in the fire the gift of God that is in him. And as we've been looking at these words together over these weeks, I've come to see that they were words written not just to Timothy long ago, but words written to you and me, because we face challenges in our lives as well. And we need those words of encouragement, such as Paul gives to us, so that we might also stay bright and shine bright for Jesus. So today we're focusing on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, and I invite you to hear God's word through the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Now his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do, but I'm not ashamed. I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank
you. Let's pray. Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine. Till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once again this morning, we included an insert, autumn orange insert, and I would invite you to follow along as we go through this message together and to write things down that you believe God is calling you to do. You know, as we read these words from Paul, we recognize that all of us can experience things that can shake our faith. In 2006 was one of several times in my life when my faith was shaken. Betsy and I had the opportunity that summer to attend the World Methodist Conference in Seoul, South Korea. And the week before the conference, we had an opportunity to be in Beijing, China, and the week after in Hong Kong, seeing the work of the Methodist Church there. And during the week of the conference, it was just amazing. We spent a week worshiping and studying and having fellowship with Christians from 80 different denominations. Some 130 countries were represented there. And we were hosted by one of the largest Methodist churches in the world, a church in Seoul that had at that time 100,000 members. It was just incredible. And we were having such a great time there in Seoul. And then on Wednesday morning, as Betsy and I were walking into the sanctuary of that church for the opening worship, we got the news. A friend from Pennsylvania told us that Paul Ockley had died suddenly of a heart attack. He was just in his early 50s. Now, at the time, Paul was the senior pastor at Colonial Park United Methodist Church in Harrisburg, and I was pastoring at Camp Hill United Methodist, and Paul and I, over the years, were such good friends. We had worked together on a conference board for many years. We were in a pastoral support group together. We played a lot of golf together and had many adventures. And at first, when I heard that Paul had died, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, just the week before we left on our trip, Paul and I had had lunch together. And he paid. And in the parking lot, before we left, Paul hugged me and he looked at me and told me how much he appreciated our friendship, and I told him the same, and then I said, next time we have lunch, Paul, when I come back, I'm buying. Then I was angry as the news began to set in. I had a lot of questions for God. I mean, Paul was a loving husband and father. His congregation loved him. He was such a gifted pastor. Colonial Park was one of the most vibrant congregations in our whole conference. A mentor and friend of so many of us. Why Paul? I was asking God. Why now? In the prime of his ministry. It just seemed so unfair, sad. It shook my faith. It shook my faith too. Because when someone near to you dies, someone in a similar circumstance as your own, it hits close to home. Someone has said that hearing that someone close to you dies is like the difference between a tornado watch and a tornado warning. A watch means that the conditions are present for a tornado, but none have been sighted yet. A warning means we've spotted a tornado in your area, and you better take cover. Well, we know that the conditions of death are always present in our lives, that tomorrow is not promised, but when someone close to us goes on to be with the Lord, it's like a warning. It brings it home. My faith was shaken. And we all experience things that can shake our faith. I'm sure that almost everyone here has experienced something that caused your faith to be shaken. The loss of a loved one or a close friend. The loss of a marriage. The loss of employment. The difficult diagnosis, the big disappointment. Our faith can be shaken when we look at the world around us today. Millions of people in this world displaced by war and poverty and prejudice. Endless wrangling among political leaders. The reality that some people hate other people just because they're different. Sometimes the wrong in this world seems all so strong, and we wonder, is God still in charge? Is God still Lord of all? Over these past few weeks, as we've been looking at these opening verses of this letter to a young pastor, we recognize that in many ways Timothy's faith had been shaken. That Timothy is asking the question, in the midst of his circumstances, am I really up for this? Can I get through this? And today I want to focus in particular on verse 12 in this chapter 1, where Paul writes these words to encourage his young friend. And he says, I know the one in whom I have placed my trust. And I am convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Now, some of you, if you were like me, maybe first heard that verse in the King James Version. There's an old hymn in our hymnal that uses this version for the song, and it says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So as we read that verse, as we focus in on it, we recognize that Paul is pointing to some things that are helpful to us in those times in our lives when our faith is shaken. And the first thing he encourages Timothy to do and encourages us to do when our faith is shaken is to focus on the person of Jesus. To focus on the person of Jesus. Verse 12b, I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. He doesn't say, I know when I've believed. He doesn't even say, I know what I've believed. He says, I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. Faith is focused on the person of Jesus Christ. You see, being a Christian involves much, much more than just living a good moral life. Now, it's important for us as followers of Jesus to live in the manner that he calls us to live, good and moral lives. But Christianity is more than that. It involves a relationship with the person of Jesus. When you're facing difficult times like the Apostle Paul was facing when he wrote this letter, you need more than a path to follow. You need a person to walk with you through that experience and through everything that happens in your life. And that person is Jesus. I really like what one commentator said about this verse. He said, the Apostle Paul is not saying, I am happy in prison because ever since I've heard the teaching of Jesus, I've been doing my best to put it into practice. When you find yourself in that place where your faith is shaken, where you're massively disappointed, you do not find life and power by the fact that you're trying to live a good moral life. It is Jesus Christ. I know whom I have placed my trust. It's a relationship with him. In this verse, Paul introduces us to a principle that I think we can apply to many different situations in our lives. And the principle is this. Whom you believe comes before what you believe. In other words, we might say it this way, what you believe is influenced by whom you believe. So if somebody asks me the question, for example, Pastor Dave, why do you think it's important for us to forgive those who have hurt us? The simple answer would be, well, because Jesus did, and I've come to believe in Jesus, and I trust in him, he went all the way to the cross to forgive his enemies, we might say. And I'm called to follow his example. Who you believe comes before what you believe. And this is so critically important. Because as you and I know, living in this world, there are so many different and divergent voices that are vying for our loyalty. And we need to get clarity that we are people who believe in Jesus because everything else in our life flows out of that. That's why the great question Jesus asked his disciples is not, what did you think of that sermon I gave the other day? The great question is the one that perhaps you remember. In fact, maybe we could just read this together from Matthew chapter 16. Let's read it together. Jesus said to them, his disciples, what did he say? But who do you say that I am? He asked them the most important question. Who do you say that I am? Well, Simon Peter, we know, answered that. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And everything else flowed out of that focus on the person Jesus. Here in verse 10 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is focusing on the person of Jesus. He tells us about the one in whom he puts his trust. Now, his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought to life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. Paul is focusing on who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And if you believe that in Jesus Christ, the grace of God has been revealed to the world as it never was before Jesus and as it never will be again, if you believe that it was Jesus who died on the cross to destroy death and Jesus who rose from the dead to bring life and immortality into clear focus for us, if you believe in these things, everything else in your life flows out of that. Paul says, Timothy, when your faith is shaken, start out by focusing on the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's done for you. And then secondly, Paul says, when your faith is shaken, revive your relationship with Jesus. When doubts creep in that cause you to be shaken in your faith, revive your relationship with Jesus. Now, we all know how important commitment is to developing healthy relationships. Commitment is a conscious choice that we make. And it involves taking something that is in your hands and entrusting it to someone else. Paul writes in the next part of verse 12, I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Now you'll notice there in the notes that we've underlined the word in my trust. And I did that because there's a lot of discussion about, now, just what did Paul mean by that? Did Paul mean that God had placed something in his trust? Or did Paul mean that he had placed something in God's trust? And actually, and this is good news, it means both of those things. Paul is making reference on one hand to what God has placed in his hands. Out of the love with which he's loved us, God has placed some very precious gifts in our hands. Think about what Jesus has put in your hands. Paul tells us that, first of all, Jesus has put a purpose in our hands. And here in verse 11, Paul reminds us of what his purpose is. He says, I was appointed. I didn't choose this. I was appointed. He put it in my hands to be a messenger, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. Now, just like Paul, God has put a purpose in your hands. To each of us has been given gifts and grace so that our purpose is to use those gifts in ways that will glorify Him. He's placed this in our hands uniquely, each and every one of us, different from the one next to us, but each and every one of us extremely important to the whole work of the body. He's placed in our hands a purpose. That's what we were appointed for, Paul says. And he's also given us a pattern. He's given us a pattern. Down in verse 13, he says, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He's given us a pattern. He's put in our hands gifts that we can use to help us continue to fan the flame of faith in our lives. He's given us things that we do together in community with others. He's given us worship. He's given us Bible studies in small groups. He's given us opportunities to serve in the community. He's given us a call to set apart a portion of our resources for the good work that we're involved in together. He's given us a pattern to follow. And some of these things that are part of that pattern are things that we incorporate into our lives as individuals. Things like reading the scripture and prayer and fasting and the practice of other spiritual disciplines. One of the verses that I love in this letter, 2 Timothy, I didn't include in the teaching notes, 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us of this pattern of sound teaching that we've heard. All scripture, Paul writes, is inspired by God. Have you heard this before? And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Timothy, God has given you a purpose, and He's given you a pattern. And God has also given you a presence with a capital P. Verse 14 at the end of this passage. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Jesus is committed to His relationship with you. He has put all of these things in your hands. A purpose, a pattern, a Holy Spirit, all in your hands. And as I think about myself, I don't know about you, but when I think about these wonderful blessings that He's put in my hands, I think, wow, He's got a lot of faith in me, because I am so likely to stumble and fall. And yet, in His faithfulness, He keeps putting these things in my hand because He's willing to take the risk out of love for me. He's so committed to that relationship with me and with you. Now, the question that Paul raises for us here then is, are you committed in your relationship with Jesus? You know, when we get money, we typically don't get it all in cash and put it in a big basket and hide it under the bed, right? We put it in the bank, or we invest it in a fund of some sort. Why don't we put our money in the hands of a bank or an investment firm? Well, the answer is because we're convinced that our money will be safer in their hands than if we put it in a laundry basket that hid it under the bed. Now, there is an exception in times of financial crisis when people have all their money in a wheelbarrow and they're wheeled at home and hiding it under the bed because they don't trust the bank to care for their money anymore. Friends, if we put our hard-earned money on deposit so that it's safe and secure from harm, how much more should we put our lives on deposit with the source of true joy and lasting peace in this world? Now, I want to ask you this morning, and I know it's dreary, but maybe you can call this out, and it's going to be up on the screen. What can you put in Jesus' hands?
Everything.
Yeah, anything and everything, right? We can put, well, what can you put in Jesus' hands?
Everything.
Paul is telling us that he's put everything. Everything on deposit with Jesus. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do, he writes at the beginning of this verse 12. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, you would say, because I know that I can trust everything into the hands of Jesus. When you put your marriage in the hands of Jesus, when you put your children, your grandchildren in the hands of Jesus, when you put your friendships in the hands of Jesus, when you put your work, your finances, your future in the hands of Jesus, when you put your worries in the hands of Jesus, your suffering in the hands of Jesus, the difficulties you're facing today, when you put them in the hands of Jesus, it makes all the difference. When you put your life in the hands of Jesus, your death in the hands of Jesus, your eternity in the hands of the one who loved you so much and he died on the cross for you, why would you put these precious things in the hands of any mortal being? When you put your life in his hands, you're able to say with confidence what we were talking about some weeks ago. The Lord is my shepherd. I trust in him for everything. And you're able to say in the words of that old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Everything else is just sinking sand. It's temporary. All of the ground is sinking sand. When your faith is shaken, Paul says, focus. Focus on the person of Jesus. When your faith is shaken, he says, revive your relationship with Jesus. Put it in his hands. You know he's committed to you. And then he says, when your faith is shaken, rest. Rest on the ability of Jesus. Rest on the ability of Jesus. Let's read the last part of this verse together. I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. The great influence in Timothy's life, his mentor, his friend, is imprisoned as he writes this. His life is soon to end. And Timothy is faced with so many challenges, so many conflicts and doubts, that he's asking, am I up for this? And Paul says to Timothy, like he says to you and me, focus on Jesus. The one who died for you will never ever leave you. Paul says, work on your relationship with Jesus. Revive it. Put everything in his hands and you'll discover that he cares for you. And he says, be at peace. Rest. Because he is able. He is powerful enough to meet whatever need you may have. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back as we prepare to respond to our message today with a song of faith. And as they come, I want to ask you, whatever changes, whatever challenges may be shaking your faith today or in the days ahead, will you hold on? Will you hold on to Jesus? And will you trust, even as the Apostle Paul did long ago, that he is exceeding abundantly above anything that we can even right now ask?